You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Abdul Mazid. He's talking to me from L.A. Abdul, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Abdul, what's happening in your studio now? I imagine a bunch of things, but what are you working on?
Yeah, a bunch of things. currently preparing for a solo show that I have coming up in spring of 2019 at Shoshana Wayne Gallery. They just recently moved to a new space and are working on the build-out of a gallery. I've been working on a number of bodies of work leading up to this, and currently taking a moment to depart from maybe my postgraduate work that I had been working on for the last 2 years, and kind of revisiting some work I'd done prior to graduate school, some oil painting and some sculpture. So it's kind of a departure of sorts for me, and I am I'm really excited about it. It's something to put down a medium and then revisit it years later, especially post grad school, and finding that I'm actually able to maybe quiet some of those voices that are kind of reminiscent from grad school and focus on more of my intuitive process. So I'm really enjoying it at this point. So getting that body of work ready for the new space and opening, and I think it's going to be April or May of next year. And,
So let's talk about some of that work, because part of what you're diving into, the revisiting old processes and work, that's for the upcoming show?
Correct.
That's your Shoshana Wayne. So tell me a little bit about that. What are you making for the show? This is a solo show at Shoshana Wayne, you said, correct?
That is correct. So I'm revisiting, my background is, maybe we should start there. So I have an undergraduate degree in economics from University of California, Santa Barbara. And an interesting path to get to, being an artist by way of economics. But really,
that is an interesting path. Although, other artists have done that. Tino Segal had a degree in economics, and it's interesting how that. I'm interested in that, how that feeds into things.
Raymond Pettibon. So I think going back to my past, having been born in L.A. To immigrant parents, my mom's from Mexico and my dad's from Syria. I grew up in South Orange County, and I was kind of exposed to, a lot of the conservative aspects of Orange County, and it really, I think, was part of those formative years I started realizing, the differences that are made very apparent to people very plainly, and I think that kind of set me on this path of being interested in how value is interpreted, both on a micro scale and on a more macro scale.
Before you go into that, when you say differences are made apparent, do you mean just who you were, how you identified, other kids?
Exactly. So it wasn't apparent to me originally until, somebody started making fun of me on the playground. I think back in early 90s, I think that somebody had asked me if Saddam Hussein was my dad, and of course all the other kids laughed, and suddenly I felt like an outsider. So I think that became apparent to me early on that I was different in that aspect, and coming home to a household that there was both Spanish and Arabic were the primary languages, and here I was learning English and helping my parents learn English, starting in the second grade and proper grammar. That my experience was probably a lot different than most of the people that I was surrounded by, my colleagues and friends. So that made me curious about, looking back years later of how these systems are in place, and kind of I wouldn't say immovable, as we're starting to see now, but I think, but why they're kind of perpetuated, and I was very curious about that. So I think that kind of led me to economics and understanding on a more macro scale how business works, how relationships work between communities on, you know, both the individual, you know, earning a wage and the people with the capital who are then putting these things into play and extracting resources and industry and how that all kind of intermingles. So I think that aspect of it kind of fueled this interest in my own identity and how my own identity was intertwined into the system, essentially, this economic system and all the systems that then kind of come out of that. So I think that's really where the original ideas came from, and a lot of my work stems from my own individual experiences and kind of dissecting incidences and trying to understand all sides of why somebody would think a certain way or say something and you know what value that person on the elementary school playground gained from making a joke at my expense, but what he gained in social, you know, standing with maybe some of his colleagues. So really trying to be diplomatic about it all and understand all sides of the situations. I think that has created a place for me to explore my own identity and kind of all the mechanisms, both internal and external, that helped me formulate that.
That's so interesting that you're saying that economics, your undergraduate degree in economics, is what helped you kind of dissect and take apart that situation, which is one of, we're talking about, like, you know, social bias and prejudice. And
right.
You're saying economics, though, is what, as I understand what you're saying, is what helped you kind of unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. Oddly enough, I think when you break it down, there's, you know, there's a buyer and a seller. Somebody's a winner and somebody's, you know, losing out on a transaction or maybe not gaining as much. And I think you can get into some game theory about, you know, net zero game theory or, you know, a positive game theory scenario. But I think, you know, understanding those basic concepts helped me understand and why I end up turning to the visual arts is because I am a very visual person and I need to see these things tangibly to understand them better. So a lot of the art I have created is really for my own personal understanding so that I can see concepts in motion in visual format. And I think the economic research methods that I learned in undergrad kind of gave me those tools to kind of dissect instances and see where the maybe where the risk is in a transaction or, you know, the value is in a transaction. And that doesn't necessarily mean buying and selling, but, you know, a verbal transaction, you know, what is gained by somebody making a slur to somebody else? They're trying to make somebody feel uncomfortable for whatever reason. You know, there's an agenda to that. So it's really fascinating when you break it down to those nuts and bolts, and I think it can allow for a space to kind of visit these ideas that are, you know, maybe larger ideas of where we are as a society, what our trajectory is, and that's stuff that I'm really, you know, interested in and curious about, where we're going as a society. It's really fascinating times.
I'm curious too, and it's so interesting to hear how economics helps you understand that. You know, you think sociology or something else, but that's really interesting and curious how that helped. And it's like, and as you mentioned, you know, Pettibone and others, Segal, have also had economic degrees, which may have helped them in also getting their work out into the world. I mean, I want to talk about just what you're preparing for the show, but do you think your degree, and then you got an MFA after that, do you think your degree in economics also helps you get your work shown out into the world, which is no easy feat on its own.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second that, you know, my background helped me kind of move in that direction. I think it's a unique perspective in the art world to some degree. I don't know that it's the end-all be-all. I don't think people going out getting economics degrees are going to necessarily get gallery representation. I think there's obviously a lot of art history and understanding and making that goes with that. But I do feel that, you know, obviously I think psychology plays an important part in many aspects of economics as well. And it's very, I guess there's a lot of spaces within the idea, the umbrella of economics, that you can really delve into, you know, micro lending in you know, foreign lands, and of course cryptocurrencies and how that's going to start changing landscapes. So I think there's a lot of, you know, benefits of understanding these mechanisms beyond, you know, how I've used it for art making. I'm, you know, I have a couple projects. You know, one of my early projects was a currency project where I was taking baseball cards and then altering them and defacing them with paint and some other substances, and how that would both erase the value of the baseball card and also create value at the same time, you know, based off of my mark as the artist. So I was very fascinated by this idea of you know, action then altering value. So that was kind of maybe a catalyst into combining these two interests of economics and of course the identity that then goes with the baseball card, you know, the baseball player, very masculine, some might say even hyper-masculine profession. So that then led to, you know, more explorations inside of that space of what is hyper-masculinity and a lot of the systems that then are in place now that keep that system perpetuating.
Mm. And so tell me a little bit about exactly what is going into this show in 2019. I mean, yeah, you can't go through piece by piece, but this is a whole show, so, you know, there's a relationship of all the works that are in there. Can you tell me a little bit about what kind of works, are whether they're paintings or sculpture or mixed media, yeah, and a little bit about how they look?
Yeah, of course. So the current body of work I'm working on right now is a series of paintings, oil on linen. And the idea for these paintings came from some of those early baseball card pieces I was talking about, where I was making these marks kind of mirroring one of the design elements on one of the cards. And it was this kind of a spray pattern, almost like an explosion. And I really liked the look of it. And then kind of going deeper into that idea, I started making more consistent marks on the canvas, similar to those patterns. Started to really look like these explosion paintings, as I'd call them. And the idea, I guess, is embedded in this moment of what an explosion entails. This point where it's no longer the untouched landscape or the aftermath, but really that in-between moment of capturing this incredible force, whether it's, you know, fireworks or bombs or whatever that may be. And I thought that was a really interesting moment of not necessarily, you know, one aspect of the landscape before or after, but really that in-between phase. And I kind of feel like that's where we are now as a society. We're in this growth phase of this in-between. And I think there's, you know, obviously a lot of energy right now happening all over the world. And I'm very hopeful that something will come out of this, something positive. So that they're tending to be very, I guess, color-driven paintings that are quite meticulous. And they're taking me quite a bit of time to finish here, so I'm glad I have.
And how are those? I mean, the idea of kind of explosion sounds abstract, but you're of course talking about a kind of a story and a narrative, if you will. Are there images at all embedded in these paintings? Are the paintings entirely abstract with a sense of energy to them, or is there some kind of, especially as we look through the whole show, a kind of a narrative? Not that there has to be one, of course, but just curious.
Yeah. I think the narrative will emerge when the work is, you know, kind of hung up and the sculptures are in place as well. I've done some sculptures, one in my thesis show and one in a group show I had at Shoshana Wayne, of essentially was a series of wooden sticks holding up a chandelier and then almost an explosion of sticks coming out of it. And that was also, you know, kind of the idea going back to these paintings, that I started to kind of let go of any of the representational aspects in the work and did focus on making work that's more energy driven. And there's this meditative process I get into when I'm making these, and I think that aspect of it, and just sticking to the, you know, the formal abstraction of this idea, is opening up a space for me to kind of further explore what these can be. And again, it's, you know, I feel like this is something that is kind of an offshoot of my main trajectory, and I feel like it's now growing into its own thing, and I'm not sure where it'll end up, to be honest. And that's kind of the exciting part of it, is that it's heading in its own direction, and it's evolving in real time, which I kind of love.
Yeah, that's what painting should do, right? It leads you and talks to itself and everything. So in these works, are these kind of gestural or kind of meticulously done? I mean, you've done a lot of different types of painting in the past, from kind of geometric painting to what looks like patterning and printing to recognizable imagery. Are these approached very differently than those? Meaning, you know, in terms of them having gestural marks in it, or are these more carefully planned out and geometric in some way?
They are very geometric. You know, there was a point of overlap where I was doing the silk screens with the glitter, which I think you're referring to some of those patterns that I'd done in the past. And I felt that gave me a really interesting surface. So there was a point in time where I started to actually apply oil paint to those surfaces, just as I did to the baseball cards, kind of, I wouldn't say ruining, but defacing the more pristine surfaces, and which is kind of an interesting idea in and of itself, defacing with oil paint, right? So, so then, you know, these have kind of evolved into what I would say is a very meticulous process of you know, having this general idea of the form I want to create, but again, you know, allowing for that space of the painting kind of dictating what it needs. So I would say that they are, you know, very abstract in nature, but full of energy, and I'm actually really excited to share them on in a public space. So
they exist on two levels. I mean, and just correct me if I'm wrong, there's the imagery, which, you know, could almost be decorative, right? It's a beautiful painting, perhaps. But then there's a subtext which has something to do with your undergraduate degree, your identity, and where we are today in the world. Is that true?
Correct. That is correct.
Is there a conversation about that at all? So that's very interesting, right? And there's artists like Ellen Gallagher, of course, who, and a lot of others who have these kind of, you know, I guess subtext is the right word, where the painting itself doesn't look like it's a statement about politics or social situations, but nevertheless it is. It has a kind of coded language throughout it. So, yeah, I'm just kind of curious, is that what's happening here? And if so, well, I mean, I guess you said it is what's happening there. Does that reach the audience? Is there a conversation about that?
That's a very good question, and I believe that yes, there is that subtext in all of the work. Whether it reaches the audience or not, I'm learning to let go of my need to guide the audience. I think that's something that I held on to pretty tightly in my first show, where I had images of you know, sharks that were captured and people, you know, kind of posing in front of them. And I felt that that imagery, although it got to what I wanted to talk about, it wasn't necessarily effective at keeping the viewer there. Whereas I feel like these more recent paintings, you know, people that I've shown them to have come back to them again and again and ask more questions. And I like that idea that it's not maybe recognizable early on. And to be honest, sometimes I don't even like guiding them. I like to let it just be what it is. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. No, that's interesting. Well, I mean, and maybe it's not that important either, you know, in some ways. It's just an interesting idea to me because it's, you know, I've of course interviewed other artists who also have a layer of meaning embedded into their work that's not apparent to the viewer, but it is where it all comes from. So so perhaps it's not, you know, we don't need to know those things. I mean, I suppose I like to ask those things during interviews and to find out a little more about that. But I think that it's a way of working, right? That inner working in your, you know, if I could say, inner narrative for all of these doesn't have to be revealed in a sense.
Right. That is essentially how I'm starting to feel as I think, you know, the inner narrative, which is, of course, the lens that I'll see the world through, isn't necessarily a shared narrative. And I think I'm okay with that. That's not, I'm not trying to change people's opinions or anything. I think I'm really putting work out of the world that makes sense to me and I'm enjoying it and finding beauty in it. And I think that, it doesn't have to necessarily land with the viewer the way I originally see it or saw it. And, you know, the intention isn't necessarily to land so directly. I think that's really where I've started to kind of find my work heading in that direction.
So, Abdul, tell me what you're reading at the moment. I'm always curious.
Yeah, right now, you know, I actually just put it down a couple weeks ago, Capital in the 21st Century by Thomas Piketty. Essentially, getting into the income inequality, wealth inequality happening in the Western world right now. And he offers some theses about how to avoid, you know, some of the constructs that we're currently in and where things are going. So it's been a long read. But, you know, it's also been part of the informative aspect of where the work comes from. So highly recommend it if anyone's interested.
Abdul, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure hearing about your work, and I wish you great success in your next show.
Thank you, Brainerd. Thank you for taking the time.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.